love at our essence. We are all just love. And that love gets filtered as we go through childhood for most of us. But it's there. It's inside of you. You are love. And once you get that, you can remove the filter so that it can shine. Once you get that love in your life, once you get that self-compassion and that self-love, everything in your world will change.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to the How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs podcast. Today is going to be a solo presentation from yours truly, the host, Brad Chandler. If you want to be a part of our amazing community of happypreneurs, come join us. We'd love to have you. Join our private Facebook group, How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs, by going to bradchandler.com/Facebook, and we'll approve you right away. So come on over. We can use help in more happy entrepreneurs. So let's jump in. The topic of this podcast is how to be happier. And of this specific podcast, we're going to talk about the one thing that is the cause of all of your problems. The basis of most every problem in your life comes down to one thing. Whether you're in a bad marriage, you work too much, you don't spend enough time with your kids, or your kids have some type of behavioral issues, you're out of shape, you need to lose weight, you're constantly stressed, you have depression or anxiety, you get angry a lot, you drink too much, smoke too much weed, you have chaos in your business, you procrastinate, you have health issues. Like, I could literally go on and on for hours and hours and hours. And these things are all vastly different, right? But guess what? They're all caused by one thing. So that one thing, guess what it is? It's your thinking. Every single problem you have is a result of your thinking. So a thought or your thinking becomes a feeling becomes an action becomes a behavior, and a behavior justifies itself by looping back and strengthening the initial thought, right? So you may be stuck in this daily loop every day, sometimes all day. This loop is the reason that you stay stuck. So why is it that your thinking is flawed? Let me share my story with you first. 2 years ago, trying to get my son help for his anxiety, I was on a call with a performance coach. And in the first couple of minutes, she said, "You have a tick." And I didn't know what she was talking about. It was the first time I met her. So I was like, "What is she talking about?" And she said that I blinked like crazy when I talked about my childhood trauma, or when I talked about my childhood. So I might have childhood trauma, which would be affecting my son's anxiety. And she offered to come out, for me to come out and work with her ex-Navy SEAL husband for a weekend in Park City. So of course I did that. I was tried everything for my son. I was like, I if this is the cause of it, I'm going to go try to work it out, right? So I went out there, and in a weekend, really in a 3-hour session, my life was completely and profoundly changed, completely changed. And what we did is we went back to my childhood and we figured out times where I didn't have control or I had some type of stress. And then we figured out the story that I told myself around that. So we'll talk a little bit about that more later and how to fix all this. But what did my flawed thinking cost me over the years? So this happened when I was 47 years old. My flawed thinking cost me $9 million worth of business mistakes. I made 5 mistakes that cost me $9 million. A lot of that money I didn't have when those mistakes happened. So it was really, really tough. Cost me 2 failed marriages, the use of weed and alcohol on a regular basis, and 2 kids with behavioral issues. So where does this thinking go wrong, right? Because none of us are born with flawed thinking. Where it comes from is when we go through stress as a child, our brain does its job, does exactly what it's supposed to do, and it comes up with a story. Why is this happening to me? So if a 6-year-old, something bad happens to them, their brain is going to give them a reason so that they can survive. And the reason usually is, if something's bad happening, I'm bad. So that is a majority, or that's one common thing that I see a lot. I saw it in myself. And I see it in my clients almost on a daily basis. If something bad happens and we say, well, if something's bad happening, especially at the hands of our parents who are supposed to be protecting us and loving us, then gosh, something must be wrong with me. I am doing something wrong. I'm bad. I'm not worthy. I'm not enough. People often get hung up. I try to stop using the word childhood trauma, because as soon as someone hears trauma, they check out. Well, I didn't have trauma. I would have been that person 3 years ago if I heard the word childhood trauma, and that's a part of my thinking problem. I would have said the same thing. Well, I didn't have any trauma. So according to Gabor Mate, little t trauma can be something as benign as your sister coming home from the hospital after being born, and you felt like your parents loved her more than they loved you. Think small things like that. Your parents not being at your ball game or your special birthday party, whatever. Big T traumas are, of course, what everyone goes to. And that's like bad things, really bad things. They're all bad, but really bad things. You know, rape, molestation, physical abuse, that type of thing. But really, you can't gauge an impact. The only thing you can gauge is what is the impact on your specific life. That's it. It doesn't do any good. And we all, including myself, want to do that. Well, I only got spanked with a belt and I only got made fun of. So why do I have these issues? I was never stuck in the closet or whatever all the bad things are. But it doesn't do any good because however your impact is, that's important to you. So another thing that's really interesting about trauma is, as Gabor Mate says, is trauma isn't the actual event that happened. That's a traumatic event. The trauma is the story that you tell yourself as a result of that event. And that is where our thinking gets flawed. So how do you fix flawed thinking? Well, there's a lot of ways to fix it, right? The method that I employ is something called RTT. And you can find out more about that at bradchandler.com/RTT, Rapid Transformational Therapy. It uses hypnosis, cognitive behavioral therapy, and NLP. And what we do is our subconscious mind controls 95% of our behavior on a daily basis. So this in your subconscious mind is also knows the source of all of your problems. So in hypnosis, which is nothing more than a kind of a meditative, deeply relaxed state, we go back to those scenes or those times in your childhood where you had issues that are now affecting you today. And your subconscious brain knows exactly what those are. It's really magical. I can't tell you how many times I've done this where a client goes right to a scene that has to do with, again, why they don't think they're enough, why they drink too much, why they pick their heel until it bleeds with OCD. So we figure out the story, and then that story is usually nothing more than some untruths. We reprogram the brain through something called neuroplasticity, which is your brain's natural ability to regrow new neural pathways. And over a 30, 60 day period, really at least 30 days, as you're going to sleep at night, you listen to this recording that's tailor-made to reprogram the untruths out of your subconscious mind that have been driving your negative behavior for as long as you've been in existence. Or that's not quite true. For as long as the scene started that caused that. Since you've been in existence, when you were first born, you didn't have any of these problems. No one's born with depression or anxiety, despite what some doctors say. I think there's more and more facts and science out there now that says that there's very few people that are born with mental illness. Most mental illness, Gabor Mate has an entire 600-page book on it called The Myth of Normal. Almost all mental illness, almost all sicknesses are caused by this flawed thinking from childhood stress and childhood programming. That's the method. And then that's the method that I employ. That neuroplasticity, that's where neuroplasticity comes in. It's the rewiring of the brain. It's your brain's natural ability to regrow new neural pathways so that you can think and thus start acting radically different. It's exactly what happened with me. So why doesn't traditional talk therapy always work? Doesn't always work because they focus on the symptoms and they focus on the conscious brain. And that's not what's driving 95% of your behavior, right? So I, as well as many of my clients and many, many, many hundreds and thousands of my mentors' clients have been to therapy for sometimes decades. And it doesn't work because of that very same reason, is you just can't go in every week and talk about your problems and think they're going to change. It's kind of why mindset doesn't work. You go to a Tony Robbins event, and I love Tony Robbins, I'm not picking on him, but you go to his event and there's no reprogramming of the subconscious mind. So you come back and you look around and you're like, wait, nothing has really changed. You're all excited to change and you want to change, but you cannot change when you've got these deeply programmed beliefs that are unknowingly driving your behavior. So it's the same reason marriage counseling doesn't really work for most people. I know it does for some. It's like you want to, the goal of marriage counseling is to make the marriage a little bit better, but keep the shitty marriage together. And the problem in relationships is never the actual relationship itself. It's the relationship each individual has with themselves. If you want to fix your marriage counseling, you may be trying it. It may not be working. If it's not working, it's most likely the relationship that you have with yourself. Finding your purpose once you do the work is much, much easier. When you haven't done the work and you're in this fight, most of us are in fight or flight about 70% of our day. And that's because we are still being driven by this programming that we don't even know is happening from our childhood. So we've got the proverbial lion chasing us, right? How can we figure out what our purpose is in life? So I work with clients who have a lot of wealth, but they're bored. They don't know what to do because they haven't done the work and they haven't figured out why they're put on this earth. You were put on this earth for a massive mission. You may not have figured it out, but I promise you were put here for a reason. this is just another benefit of doing this work. You're doing the job of figuring out what is that flawed programming. And once you do that, it's another benefit. There's countless benefits, but another benefit is to figure out what is your real purpose here. So many people in life create or start jobs based on what other people want, what their parents want. They don't do what they want. They just go to college and they get the job. A lot of times what their mom or dad did or what their mom or dad advised that they should do. So huge benefit to figuring out what is your life's purpose, right? So a little bit more about the flawed thinking. I mentioned this earlier, but it's really untruths, the untruths that are caused by these situations that you go through as a child because you've got to survive it. So your brain does its job. It comes up with a reason for why it happened. And those untruths actually cause a lack of self-love, and a lack of self-compassion, which is the cause of most every problem we have in the world, from prisons being full to drug addiction, to obesity, to terrorism. This is all from an individual's lack of self-love. And why do we lack self-love? Because of those untruths we told us in our childhood programming to get us through those bad situations, right? Why do all these things equate back to self-love? Because you know this, hurt people hurt people. If you don't have self-love, you're hurt. You weren't born with lack of self-love. It was a learned behavior, likely through the flawed behavior of your parents. And it's not their fault or your caregivers. It's not their fault. They did the best that they could do, just like I did the best that I could do in my first 47 years as a parent to two kids. But I didn't know because of my deeply buried subconscious thoughts, I didn't know the damage or the effect that I was having on my children, the negative effect that I was having on my children. Once I turned it around, obviously everything's able to change. So if you're sitting there saying, well, I know I have self-love, well, I was the same guy that 3 years ago, if you'd asked me, I would have said that same thing, but I fooled myself. I'm looking back now at all of my results in my life, I did lack self-love. So I created this quick 3 minutes, if that, 12 question quiz that you can take yourself and see where you stand on this, if you have self-love or not. It's bradchandler.com/love. Lack of self-love driven by this flawed thinking is the cause of your children's issues too. If your child has issues and they're acting out, you've got to go look in the mirror at yourself and ask, is my child's problem my problem? And of course it is your problem, but you could be the cause of it. Again, is it your fault? No, it's not your fault. But if your kid has anxiety or depression or OCD or anything along those lines, and you're trying to help them, which I'm sure you are, most therapists aren't going to tell you to look at yourself. So if you want to go take that quiz, and if you come up with mild self-love or lack of self-love, know that you definitely are affecting your kids in a negative way. Understand that this isn't about blaming. This is about recognizing and having awareness, because you can only change with awareness. So I would advise you to do that if you have kids with behavioral issues, and know that it can all be turned around, right? Everything can be changed, and it's never, never, never too late. The Beatles song, All You Need Is Love, they really had it right. Love, at our essence, we are all just love. And that love kind of gets filtered as we go through childhood for most of us. But it's there. It's inside of you. You are love. We're all love. And you can get it back. And once you get that, not get it back, you can remove the filter so that it can shine. Once you get that love in your life, once you get that self-compassion and that self-love, everything in your world will change. So if you happen to take the quiz and you get a lower score, I don't want you to feel bad. I want you to feel just the opposite. You now know that your life can profoundly get better, and it can profoundly get better in a matter of hours. You don't need to go to decades of talk therapy. I have a proven method that it literally takes 3 to 5 hours over 5 weeks, but actual time of meeting with me, 3 to 5 hours. So getting back to the love is everything, we're going to wrap up on this thought. Every single behavior, every single thing that a human being does is usually a call for love or a show of love. Call for love means they want love, they're hurt. So when someone's cussing at you, yelling, judging you, that's a call for love. They're hurt. A show of love is obviously if someone, you know, a loved one comes up and puts their arm around you, gives you a kiss and says, I love you. So those are usually the only two acts that a human being will do, right? You as a human being get to respond in one of two ways. You get to respond in love or fear/ego, because fear is ego and ego is fear. The more that you respond in love to others and to yourself, the more free, the more joyous, the more happy, the more healthy. Life becomes really, really good when you can respond in love way more than you respond in ego. And I know a lot of my life in my relationships, my intimate relationship, even my relationship with my kids, my coworkers, my partner, I probably responded in fear and ego a lot because I felt internally pretty bad about myself. Again, I didn't know it. It showed up when I would be in a social situation. I wouldn't want to dance or sing karaoke unless I had a couple of drinks. Those are signs that I'm fearful that I don't want people to judge me. And if I felt self-love, immense amount of self-love, I wouldn't care if people judge me. That's where I am now. That's why I no longer use weed or marijuana, and I can go karaoke or dance or sing or whatever, because I know that if someone's judging me, it's about them and it's not about me. Even if they did judge me, I really don't care because I now know that I'm enough. If there's one thing you take from this, or let's say two things, it's one is the thinking, your thinking is the cause of every single problem in your life. And the second thing is start asking yourself, is this person calling for love or are they giving a show for love? Are you going to respond in love or are you going to respond in fear or ego? And start asking yourself that. And then once you respond, say, hey, was that love or was that ego? And if you ever have any hesitancy or question about whether it was love or ego, I promise you it was always ego, because there will be no discrepancy or no gray when you respond in love. So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you like the show, please subscribe, share, like, and if you want to become a member of our community, please reach out to us at bradchandler.com/Facebook. And remember, love heals all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.